Muscle Muscle, the podcast is starting.
Hello, and welcome to Podtrificus Totalis, a Harry Potter read-along podcast. I'm your host, Cassie.
And I'm Joe.
And we are here to do Chapter 15 of Harry Potter, the Prisoner of Azkaban, the Quidditch Final. And we're so late with this episode because we just really didn't want to talk about Quidditch.
Yeah, definitely nothing else happens at all.
Yeah, nothing else happened. As I tweeted, we had a little bit of a family thing going on last weekend, an unexpected family thing going on last weekend. Everybody is fine, theoretically, and maybe hopefully in good health. But yeah, that's where we're at. But we're here today to do the Quidditch final. Aren't you excited, Joe?
Extremely excited.
Yeah, there's a line in here about how everybody was so into the Quidditch final that like tensions were high in Hogwarts, and I highlighted it and wrote, I simply do not care.
Well, it seemed like tensions were high because of how many terrible things Malfoy had done.
No, this was in the whole school.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we're getting our audience excited to listen to this episode. So before we start our chapter discussion, what do we always do, Joe?
So I'm going to get started with a chapter summary. I have 30 seconds. Cassie has her watch.
Well, listen, okay, here's the thing. Usually we use our phones. And as mentioned, that's not a great system because that means I have to take my phone out. And also, like, my phone doesn't work so good. So I realized...
Was that as mentioned?
We talked about this at one point.
Sure.
I realized there's a little recording timer on my screen.
Okay, that'll be real good for when it's my
this.
Turn.
Okay. To, well, you always have your phone in your hand, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, but I can just look at the recording timer.
This is all great podcast stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So
the technicalities are so necessary.
I'll be timing Joe using my podcast recording timer.
Okay. Hermione punches Malfoy, cuts charms class, and then makes fun of Trelawney before kicking open a trapdoor and quitting divination class. Her cat Crookshanks is hanging out with the Grim in the middle of the night, and Harry plays Quidditch and wins the cup for Wood and McGonagall.
That was 15 seconds.
Yeah, I'm
and
so glad we
focus
had the timer.
Fully on Hermione's end of this chapter. You would almost think that nothing else happens.
That I hit the important things.
Okay, if you say so. Well, one important thing that you maybe missed is that this chapter opens up with the verdict from
Buckbeak's trial.
We get more details in this chapter, and the children, by which I mean Harry, Ron, and Hermione, resolve that there is going to be an appeal to the verdict. And,
yes, there's always an appeal.
And that's when they're going to bring it. And this is where they just kind of make up.
Ron just says... Well, you'll have help this time because Hagrid sends Hermione this letter and says, Dear Hermione, we lost. I'm allowed to bring him back to Hogwarts. Execution date to be fixed. Beaky has enjoyed London. I won't forget all the help you gave us.
Okay. I need to talk about Beaky has enjoyed London. How?
I'm sure they went to
what did they do in London?
Candy shops?
A hippogriff went to London and enjoyed it?
There's wizard stuff in London.
Is there hippogriff stuff in London?
I think those are
one
and the same.
Is there like a hippogriff park where Hagrid can let Buckbeak the criminal connect with other hippogriffs?
Other hippogriff criminals specifically, but not other regular hippogriffs.
Okay, yeah, that's what they mean by out in the yard.
Yeah. No, I have no idea what is there to do in London for a hippogriff.
Yeah, UK listeners, write in.
Yeah, tell us all the cool hippogriff locations. Tell us about any very large dog parks with like extra size fire hydrants and like real big carrots. I don't know.
And sometimes there's flying.
Yeah. Well, the flying could be anywhere. That honestly opens up all the options.
Yeah.
He did a lot of stuff on rooftops of unwitting muggles.
Okay. All right. So moving on from Beaky has enjoyed London, which is still a sticking point for me. But moving on from it, Ron relents very quickly on the Scabbers Crookshanks issue. So Hermione relays this sad news. Harry and Ron are like, we're going to try this time. We're going to do it. And Hermione hugs Ron because... that's the way their relationship has developed. And She says, Ron, I'm sorry about Scabbers. And he's like, basically, it's fine. He was a bit useless. You never know. Mom and Dad might get me an owl now.
It sounds like he's kind of begrudgingly saying things to make her feel better. Okay. He is very uncomfortable by this hug. He like pats her on the top of the head and wants that to be over. He seems to be like convinced by Hagrid's, you know, torment, which is what took him out of this in the first place, which is what made them forgive her the first time around.
Okay, so that was one of my reads of the situation, that now animal injustice has been placed into context for Ron, and he's realized that there are bigger fights out there than a cat accidentally eating his rat.
I mean, the cat did it on purpose.
Okay, but the cat owner's cat accidentally letting the cat eat the rat. So I guess that that's a read of this situation.
Why? What is your read of this situation?
I read this situation as, are we moving on from this plot contrivance in a lazy way?
I don't think so.
This has been the action of the last like three chapters.
And I know,
to just
that's
move
such
on
a long
so
time
quickly?
For him to slowly get over the loss of his rat.
Okay. You know, far be it from me to be critical of these books and the writing.
You're fully allowed to be. I'm just saying, like, it has been such a long time.
Or this is a Quidditch chapter, and those are just
honestly
bad chapters.
Quidditch is not most of this chapter.
Yes, it is. Okay. Has anyone ever patted you on the head?
It's been quite some time.
Okay.
Now it's like a chore. You have to like really reach up high.
I would have to like do a slam dunk move to get up there.
That would no longer be a pat.
Okay. So moving on. There's all this stuff with Hermione. Truly, my notes are so not detailed from this chapter. They are like three quarters of a page. Like the normally I'm coming in with that double-sided
record length.
Yeah. Okay. So Hermione is just like in a mood for this whole chapter. She is frazzled. She's upset by this verdict.
And she's so overwhelmed with all of her classes.
Yes. And she ends up missing charms class.
Well, we're skipping ahead.
Oh, okay. No, never mind. Yeah, I did skip the moment I wanted to talk about. So they want to go talk to Hagrid, but unfortunately they can't really like leave the castle whenever they want. So they have to talk to him during Care of Magical Creatures
class. And that's it, which I don't know how many times a week it is, but that doesn't seem like enough time.
Right. And as they're walking from Care of Magical Creatures class, Malfoy is spouting off.
But before we even get to that, you know, they are talking to Hagrid right after class. And he's telling them that he got all tongue-tied. They were sitting there in their black robes. And he kept dropping his notes, like, on the ground and forgetting lines and things.
Why was he not allowed an attorney?
Right? He was Buckbeak's attorney.
You would think also that the school would have attorneys?
Yeah. That would in theory make sense. But again, this is a wizard school.
I'm sorry. This is England, so they're called barristers.
Really?
I don't know. I have watched Bridget Jones a lot, and okay. Colin Firth that is a barrister.
I'm not taking any information from Bridget Jones's diary.
I think in terms of like media we've referenced on this podcast, Bridget Jones's diary is like top 10.
I mean, it's one of your favorite things to talk about.
I love that movie.
I think it's unfair to say we talk about it all the time.
Okay. All right. So yeah, Hagrid messed up at the trial. He really Colin Firthed it up. Just kidding. Colin Firth is a really good barrister in Bridget Jones's diary.
Okay. Lucius Malfoy apparently
Hugh granted it up.
I am moving on from this. Lucius Malfoy apparently just said what he wanted to happen, and the committee just did exactly what he wanted.
Because he's like a known former like hate group member and possibly murderer. So everybody just listens to him.
Yes, he has people in his pocket and probably knives.
I mean, he has a wand.
And knives.
Okay. Should I buy a knife? I want to be like one of those people that has a knife.
You want to be one of those middle school teachers with knives.
No, I wasn't thinking about it in the capacity of my work as a teacher. I was thinking just like, you know, when you're like doing something, you're like out and like, you know, you're trying to open a box or something and somebody's just like, oh, it's okay. I have my knife. I want to be that person.
I haven't been in that situation since high school when I had a bunch of friends with knives and was also a child with a knife.
I guess I haven't been in that situation since I was like working retail and like opening boxes.
And also, like, how did you not just have scissors everywhere?
Oh, God, no, there were never. I would like use my keys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, we worked in the same place at a time. You know that there was never like convenient scissors or box cutters around. I need to open these popcorn bins with my bare hands.
I feel like there was always one really old, gross box cutter.
Yeah, which I cut my hand with once, remember?
Oh, good thing you got that tetanus shot.
Yeah, okay. Well, Harry Potter is doing things. So they talk to Hagrid, and Hagrid buffooned the trial.
Yeah, he really messed it up.
Yeah, and so they leave Care of Magical Creatures. Malfoy is taking in the glory of his win. He's gotten an animal executed. And Harry, Ron, and Hermione are understandably incensed by what he's saying.
Yes. Look at him blubber. Have you ever seen anything quite as pathetic? And he's supposed to be our teacher.
Harry, Ron, and Hermione roll up. Harry and Ron are getting ready to throw down. They're getting ready to
They're
do something.
They're so ready to start a fight. And Hermione beats them to the punch and smacks him.
Okay.
We get
okay,
a sound
wait.
Effect.
Okay, wait. Is we it don't... a smack, a slap, or a punch?
She had slapped Malfoy around the face with all her strength she could muster.
Okay, so do you think that, because the sound effect we get is smack, do you think that a slap makes a smack sound effect?
There is not a difference between a smack and a slap.
Okay, is there a difference between a slap and a punch?
Yes.
I have a good friend who insists that a slap is a type of punch.
It's a type of close combat, barehanded attack.
But to me, the difference is a slap is open-handed and a punch is a fist.
Yes.
Closed hand.
Closed hand.
Hermione slaps Malfoy.
Yes.
Now, this rabbit hole gets deeper.
Sure it does.
In the movie,
she punches him.
She punches him, closed fist.
Which I prefer.
You prefer the punch.
I prefer
Please
the punch.
Explain.
Punches do more damage. A smack will like sting, but a punch can really mess someone up. You can't mess someone up as much with a slap.
I don't know that I've ever really been punched.
I don't know that I've ever really been slapped
for the for that matter. But okay, so you would say that a punch is more violent and harmful than a slap.
Yes, you'll do more damage with a punch than with a slap.
Okay.
Potentially.
I mean, that opens up a whole, like, I don't know how to punch properly. It's supposed to be thumb on the outside, right? Does it go
you
on your knuckles?
Definitely don't put your thumb inside your fist. You will break your thumb.
Okay. You don't need to teach me how to punch right now.
We're not teaching our audience how to punch someone.
But, okay. So you prefer a punch because you think that it's more harmful, that like Malfoy deserves a hit and it should be a punch.
If you're going to do anything, like you're going to get, in theory, you have the exact same amount, chance of getting in trouble from this. You hit a child on school ground, like you hit a fellow student on school ground. If it is a punch versus a slap, you'll get in the same amount of trouble.
So
if you're going to do it, go for more damage.
It's interesting that you take that tact with it because Hermione gets in zero trouble for this.
Oh, yeah. She fully gets away with it. She did it right place, right time. Nobody saw it. And
is Malfoy really going to go cry and be like, Hermione slapped me?
Well, that's the thing. Like, Crabbe and Goyle don't even know what to do.
Right.
They just stand there.
Yeah.
No one does anything after this. They're so shocked at what Hermione was willing to do. And she yells at him
and like rounds up
call
for another.
Hagrid pathetic. You foul evil. And she is ready to hit him again.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going back to the punch versus slap debate for a moment. Do you think it is misogynistic for Hermione to slap Malfoy versus punch him? Because I think that a slap is very feminized. You know, it follows from that like patriarchal notion that like women aren't strong enough to do like a punch, something really like harmful and lasting.
I will say women the slap. First thing that comes to mind as you say that is if you have like nice long nails and you punch someone, you're going to kind of stab yourself a little bit and break your nails.
Okay, I don't believe for a second that Hermione has like nice long nails.
No, definitely not. But also, a slap with nice long nails, you have a good chance of really scratching someone up.
Okay, but I think that if Malfoy was like really scratched up by this, we would hear about it.
Potentially.
Okay, but do you think that it is misogynistic for Hermione to slap Malfoy versus punch him? I need you on record here, Joe.
To say what is misogynistic and what
is not.
I'm like
pulling down that like single light bulb that they use in the interrogations room.
Well, the light's on my side of the room.
Okay, yeah.
I guess
yeah.
you have your own little desk lamp.
I do have my desk lamp.
But the effect is lowered if it's across the room from me and yeah. I have a light source.
It's also like just well lit in here.
Yeah. I prefer the movie scene.
Okay. Do you prefer the movie scene because she calls him a loathsome cockroach in it or just because of the punch?
The punch is very good.
Okay. I can't decide how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I think that a slap is feminized. I'm like, let Hermione punch Malfoy. Absolutely. She deserves to do that. Because if Ron or Harry were the one to hit Malfoy, it would have been a punch. Do you think I'm wrong in saying that?
I think we've definitely seen Ron and Harry punch Malfoy before in these books.
Right. So when it's
not
Hermione,
in this book, weirdly
it's a
enough.
Slap.
It's the first time Malfoy is physically attacked this book. And it happened all the time
well,
in the
Buckbeak
first two.
Also physically attacked him.
That's a stretch.
But I mean, the whole Buckbeak situation has made it so that Harry and Ron are like kind of walking on eggshells around Malfoy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that it would have been a punch if it had been Harry and Ron. So I question why it's different for Hermione.
I mean, I think you might be right.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Just something I'm thinking about.
I think, as I've said before, the movie did it better in this scene.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I think the punch is good.
That's fair. So this happens. Ron and Harry stop Hermione from just bodying Malfoy further and pull her up to go to charms class. Hermione disappears on the way to charms class.
And they find her again asleep in the dorm.
In the common room, that's right. And Hermione freaks out that she missed charms class. I want to ask here, wouldn't Hermione missing a class be an issue, given that there is a murderer on the loose who has previously broken into the castle?
I feel like attendance should be taken more diligently.
Yeah, like if I mark a kid absent who has been there for like three periods of the day, it's a big deal. It's like, where is this kid if mm-hmm. they don't show up?
That's fair. There's definitely no like computer system that they're plugging this attendance
okay,
into.
They even have magic.
Like,
okay. This is magic school.
Okay. What's the magic to tell everyone that a student is absent?
Flitwick, I don't know. We talked about how Patronuses can send messages. Flitwick realizes that he has a student missing. So he says, hey, a kid is missing. And get somebody to go look for Hermione.
Okay.
Also, they have phones. Like, I know they don't have phones in Hogwarts, but, like, phones were around in 1993.
But
they had options.
Yeah, they don't have that.
There is a way, I am certain, to get a urgent message to the proper people.
Yes.
But just, like, why did nobody go looking for her? They were just like, well, I guess Hermione's gone.
Now, there are several exceptions being made for Hermione right now that we can't take into account.
Okay. But the rules of those exceptions don't make this scene make sense. And I mean, I guess if we fit it into the whole Hermione is frazzled, it can make sense somehow.
Hermione might have realized like, yeah, I needed that rest mm-hmm. and I can't do a class in the mindset I'm in right now.
Sure. Yeah. So Hermione is devastated to have missed out on cheering charms, which Ron remarks like she could have used a cheering charm, which I also don't like.
She's not feeling well right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's not saying put a smile on.
Because that's what I was thinking when like old men would come into my retail jobs and be like, why don't you smile?
But like Harry and Ron talk about how they genuinely feel better for those the hour or so.
That's true. So they discover Hermione asleep in the common room and they have about 20 minutes until divination. So they're like, you know, just take a minute, Hermione, please just take a minute. And then they head up to divination and Hermione is still in a mood. And divination does not improve that.
Yes.
So Professor Trelawney has dragged out the crystal balls. Because, and this is a quote, the fates have informed me that your examination in June will concern the orb. Hermione snorts and rightly points out that Trelawney designs the exams. So
what an amazing prediction.
Yeah. But I have to ask, is this like a chicken or egg situation here? Trelawney thinks that the Fates have said that the orbs will be on the exam. So, wouldn't she, when she makes the exam, put orbs on the exam because she thinks the Fates told her to?
That depends if you believe that she got a...
But she believes it. That's what matters.
Does she believe it?
I think so.
Okay.
You don't think Trelawney believes her own stuff?
I don't. I genuinely don't know
okay.
if she really believes it. Because okay. she's constantly kind of putting things down to try and cover herself.
Hmm. Okay. But then on the other hand, like, let's say she doesn't put, or she's thinking about not putting orbs on the exam. Wouldn't that, in the head of somebody like Trelawney, be like, who am I to defy fate? Like, if I don't follow what fate told me what to do, I'm going to get in trouble. Something's going to happen to me.
So that would still be, if she believes this, yes, she would just do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if she doesn't believe it, then yeah, she's just going to say that that's what fate's decided and okay. put it on the test.
Okay. It's just, it's always that question of if you like believe in a predetermined destiny and you somehow know what your predetermined destiny is, are you just making choices to follow along with that destiny? Or was it your destiny to make those choices?
I will point to the Avatar episode.
Is there an Avatar episode?
There's an Avatar episode with a person that is telling fortunes. And one of my favorites is a man is told that he will be wearing red shoes when he meets the love of his life. And he says that he's been wearing those shoes every day since.
Okay. I don't remember that episode at all. Is this the original?
Really, this is the original
okay.
one.
Hmm.
Sokka is not happy throughout it.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, it's a question that I have.
He gets literal egg on his face.
Okay. I might be like getting up into it with this though. Like this might be.
You're kind of trying
circuitous.
To paradox
yeah.
something.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And
we have so much more paradoxical stuff happening in this book,
mm-hmm.
in this chapter even.
Yeah.
And we're going to focus on, well,
okay. well
what
we
if
don't
she,
have to.
what if she was told to put the orbs on the test?
Okay. So Professor Trelawney is getting them to read their crystal balls, and she says that you need to empty your mind.
We shall start by practicing relaxing the conscious mind and external eyes.
Harry struggles with this. And I have to say, anytime I've done anything where it's like, empty your mind, like clear it out, never happened. I have never been able to empty my brain. Is that like just me? And I mean, maybe you're not the best person to ask.
Excuse me.
I have never been able to do this. And I know that this is like a mindfulness and like people meditate and stuff. And I've always been like, you know, that's really interesting. I could probably benefit from it, but I would never be able to get myself to that point.
I mean, it takes practice.
My brain is like only empty when I am asleep.
I did some mindful meditation stuff in high school. Our government teacher like brought in a guy that specialized in it, and that was our like, was it 10th period in high school or 11th period?
I had that first period,
the extra period.
Okay, I think it was 10th period.
Yeah.
I was too cool. I didn't stay after school.
Okay. And then I also took a class in college that was
you took like a yoga class or something, right?
It wasn't a yoga class. It was meditation and religion.
Mm-hmm. I remember you buying a yoga mat, or like it said you had to buy a yoga mat.
I borrowed a yoga mat from someone. But yeah, that was for that class. But we went to a monastery and on like a field trip, basically.
Were you able to empty your mind?
Yes.
What does that feel like?
Not much, honestly.
Okay.
It's nice.
Okay. I'd love to experience that one day.
it's something that does take a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm.
And like you kind of have to refresh yourself after a while. It's not easy to just fall back into.
Okay. Hermione also struggles.
Professor it seems like Trelawney, everyone struggles.
Professor Trelawney comes over to look into Harry's crystal ball after Ron says, well, there's going to be a lot of fog tonight. Trelawney comes over.
Yeah, we have to read that line word for word, because she does say, would anyone like help interpreting their shadowy portents?
Mm-hmm. Great word, portents.
I don't need help. It's obvious that what this means. There's going to be loads of fog tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of them burst out laughing.
Yeah. So Trelawney, obviously upset that there's something fun going on in her classroom, comes over and prepares to read off the Grimm from Harry's crystal ball.
Yep, Harry's like, I know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And Hermione just loses it.
Oh, for goodness sake. Not that ridiculous Grimm again. She then...
Yes, I have to talk about this. Hermione storms out of divination and kicks the trap door open.
I don't know how trap doors work anymore.
I don't either, but what a baller move. Like, oh man, this is a new Hermione we're seeing. And it's kind of exciting because to this point, Hermione has been like, I mean, not so much in this book, but like very composed and mm-hmm. like,
she is losing it this yeah, book. She's losing it.
She's out of it this chapter. This is like Hermione has gone rogue.
Hermione was so confident in the beginning of this book, knew she could take all these classes and it was going to work out fine.
I mean, listen, also, Hermione is a 13-year-old girl in this book.
Yeah.
13 is a bad age for girls.
13 is a bad age.
That's when everything is weird.
So like trap doors.
Yeah. My thought was that we tend to picture a trapdoor that you lift open.
Yes.
I'm thinking because divination is the top of the trapdoor. She kicks it and it swings down.
Mm, that would be very difficult to close.
Well, I assume there's some kind of latch or something on the outside.
But like if it swings down, you'd have to like reach back. I tried to mime it and tilt it away from the microphone. You'd have to reach back down into the hole to reach it and close it.
Oh, yeah. How does this trapdoor work?
There's two potential solutions that I'm coming up with, which are the trapdoor kind of just sits on top of the floor. So there's like an inch or two of wood or whatever the trapdoor is made of on top of the floor that she's able to like kick up with her foot.
Okay.
Or it's like a built-in thing that slides. So she
explain
could,
the slide more
like a door that slides into the wall.
Oh, like
of,
a pocket door.
Yeah.
Okay. I just had another thought. Doesn't Trelawney have to lower the trap door for them?
Yes.
So maybe the closure is on the inside. Maybe it is like I'm saying, it's a door
there's
that swings
probably a closure
down
both
and there's
ways.
A closure on the inside. That doesn't make any sense, Joe. There's Excuse a clo- me? How would that work?
They have to wait for the ladder to be lowered.
You could lock Trelawney in there if there's a closure on the outside.
But if there's a closure on the inside as well, you can still open it. That's how doors work.
I don't know enough about how doors work.
No. You can close a door from both sides. There's a doorknob on both sides of doors.
I don't think there's a doorknob on this trap door. Okay, but listen to what I'm saying. If there's only a closure on the inside... That means that Trelawney has to open and close that door whenever she's allowing visitors. Good so far?
Okay, what if she leaves? Does she leave
leaves
it open?
The trap door open. Because there's a ladder,
And then
too.
It's free reign?
And that's how she gets in and out. There's a ladder.
She
I don't
leaves
know, who's
the
gonna,
door open?
I don't know. I don't know. But if that's the case, if there is a closure on the inside, Hermione could kick it with such force that the closure breaks and the door swings open.
I think it would have been more of a thing if she had broken the trapdoor.
Okay.
Are you talking about like she could kick the hinges?
Yeah, I'm thinking about one of those little, like when there's a hole and then the little hook that goes into the hole.
Okay. That's so much simpler than what I'm picturing.
Okay.
And that still wouldn't open it. That would just like have it be unlocked.
But that's the only thing keeping it closed.
You think the whole thing
I
is
I don't know
supported?
How trapdoors work, Joe. I've never been through a trap door. I'm thinking of the attic in my old house.
Okay. Describe the door to the attic.
I don't remember it that well. It was high up.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't really reach it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a string.
And you pull the string and a little staircase
came out. You
pull the
string and the stairs come out.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have a latch.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know. Hermione kicks the door open and it's cool. That's all that matters.
And then we have, I think it's Lavender.
It is Lavender.
Who says that Trelawney totally predicted this.
Yeah.
That someone was going to leave around Easter forever.
And Trelawney seems like shaken by this experience in a weird way. Like you would think that this wasn't the first time that somebody walked out of her lessons.
Professor Trelawney gave her a dewy smile. Yes, my dear, I did indeed know that Miss Granger would be leaving us. One hopes, however, that one might have mistaken the signs. The inner eye can be a burden, you know.
It just, like, she has harassed Hermione this whole, like, year so far. Mm-hmm. It's no wonder Hermione walked out.
And, like, she fully insulted her.
Yes. Like,
right before she stormed out.
Yes. And, like, that's not the first time that Trelawney has been like, you just don't got it, kid.
On the other hand, she has been clear to everyone, like, some people will just not have this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will just not have this.
That opens a larger discussion that we've had already about why are they offering a class? Like, that would be like offering a class just for people with perfect pitch. And if you were in the class and you didn't have perfect pitch, it was just like, well, I guess you don't have it.
But also you would still, if we're getting back into this, you would still offer that to everyone because what if you just don't know? You know, you take that class, you find out, and you leave it if you don't have it.
Okay, but it doesn't seem like they're allowed to just like change their classes up at the drop
Hermione
of a hat.
Dipped.
Yeah,
Hermione
I guess.
Is never going to come back to class. Spoiler alert, Hermione leaves divination forever.
Yeah, okay.
She's a unique case because she has other classes to go to at this time.
Yeah, like I had the understanding that Harry and Ron have to stay in divination because it's too late for them to like switch to another elective. And if they just drop divination, they'll be short a course.
Okay.
So they're not allowed to do it. But Hermione, I guess, has plenty that it can fill that slot. No problem.
No problem whatsoever for her.
Yes. So this is where the good part of the chapter ends and the bad part starts. And the bad part is about Quidditch. So everybody's freaking out about this Quidditch match. And it's very, like, Slytherin bad. Everybody in the school is just against Slytherin and are rooting for Gryffindor to win. Harry is being escorted from his classes by other Gryffindors because Wood wants him to be protected in case the Slytherins try to pull something.
They already had tried to pull something. They were just like tripping him in the hallway. But yeah. Wood is like, we can't risk injuring the Seeker.
Yeah.
And Harry is also very afraid someone's going to sabotage his broom.
Mm-hmm. You would think that there was no discipline at this school. I mean, I guess we did see Hermione fully like slap a kid and not get in trouble with it. But like,
they're lax on very specific things.
Yeah. Okay. So everyone's just like stressed out about this. Gryffindor needs to win. Like, Harry has to catch the Snitch when they're up by more than 50 points in order for them to win the cup. That's what the point margin is like. That Slytherin is 200 points ahead. So they need 210 or more to win the Quidditch Cup. And that's being drilled into Harry by Oliver Wood.
Yeah.
Everybody's just freaking out. Harry has a nightmare the night before that he slept through the game and they had to use Neville instead.
And which I highlighted. It's very fun to be like, we just replaced you with Neville. It went terribly.
I guess they don't have subs, which is something we've talked about. You know how like there's a player waiting on the bench in case, you know, the striker gets injured.
You just grab the first person you see, and that happened to be Neville this time.
I do think this is funny, given things that we learn later about
That's
Neville.
That's why I highlighted it, of like, Harry and Neville.
Same difference.
Well, you can flip them around. It's going to end worse, but.
So I was entertained by that in that respect, although I don't think that was intended. Harry has this kind of fitful night, and he spots Crookshanks outside with a black dog, and he's like, well, there's the Grim. But then he's looking at it, and it's like, well, it doesn't.
No, it's just a big dog. It's not the Grim because it's not an omen. Crookshanks can see this, and he tries to wake up Ron.
Yeah.
To look at that. Like, am I still dreaming, Ron? Come look at this. Ron does not get up. Ron.
Yeah. I mean,
Ron does what Cassie does in her sleep, which is respond, fall back asleep, and not remember it in the morning.
Okay, can you blame me? If you woke me up in the middle of the night to say, hey, come look at this dog, I would also not get up.
He doesn't even give Ron context of just like, I want you to know if you can see this. It's dark. I don't see anything. It's dark. Ron, your eyes are closed. It's dark.
So Harry wakes up in the morning. They go to breakfast and everyone claps and cheers for him. When they come to breakfast and the Slytherins are mad. And then they go to the Quidditch pitch. And I need to talk about some math here.
Okay.
They go to the Quidditch pitch. Actually, I skipped a note. Hold on. Wood is a ball of stress. And I know now that we wouldn't have worked out. It would just...
Two balls of stress would be a nightmare.
I wouldn't be able to handle it.
I do like that the night before, Wood was playing with little Quidditch figurines.
Yeah, that was fun.
He was like, I mean, I understand that it was, he's planning out strategies.
Yeah, like how different is this when like football players like draw those circles and lines in like a little book and they're like, this is genius. This is the most important thing I've ever done.
But he's doing that for himself. Like he's not sharing this information.
He's just like muttering.
The game is tomorrow. He's just like, he has figurines. He has little it's guys like, on broomsticks.
It's like what I mentioned, we were at the store the other day looking at like camping equipment, and I was bummed that they didn't have the little tent models.
Model tents, yes.
Yeah, this is what Wood has of the Quidditch pitch. He just has like a little model of pieces that he moves around.
Do you think they fly on their own? Do you think they hover?
It says that he was pushing them around with his wand, but maybe. So like if he was just waving his wand and they were pushing.
I mean, you could like kind of tap them and move them with your wand too.
Right, but he could also be using magic to move them. Okay, so they go down to the Quidditch pitch, and it says that 3/4 of the crowd support Gryffindor here. You know, yes. They're holding the banners, which is Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Gryffindor, assuming that the houses are roughly the same size. However,
200 Slytherin.
200 in Slytherin, and that's the unaccounted for 4/4.
Mm-hmm.
So doing a little math, 4 times 200 is equal to 800.
Correct. Nice job.
So there are 800 students at Hogwarts.
Yes, in theory.
Rowling has said 1,000.
Rowling has said that I'm bad at math several times.
Is anyone this bad at math? Like, even I figured that out. Even I'm not this bad at math. Because Rowling said the 1,000 number when people asked, like, how many people are in at Hogwarts. And she was like, I think about 1,000.
About 1,000. 800 is about 1,000.
No. 800 is not about 1,000. If I owe you $1,000 and I give you 800, we're not square.
Well,
I'm not going to be like, it's about 1,000 here.
But I didn't say give me about $1,000. I would say give me $1,000 and then I would want $1,000.
No, no. This is so off. Just change that number. Just make it 250.
But see how small of a difference that is?
No, that's a big difference.
50 people made that.
This is bad, Joe.
From 800 to 1,000.
This is bad math.
If you were rounding,
okay,
that would go up to 1,000.
Okay. Quidditch happens. I'm not going to get into the play-by-play of Quidditch because I don't care. I simply do not care.
I have very little highlighted.
I have two bullet points.
I will say Slytherin is cheating pretty hard. And
yeah,
most
they're playing
of these
dirty.
Points are just straight up fouls that are called.
Yeah.
Like they're really messing themselves up.
Because
there were 20, maybe 30 points that were scored in earnest. And the rest
were just penalty
were
shots.
Were just penalty shots that they didn't need to give up.
How is there no other, like, how do you not get a red card in Quidditch?
Because there's no subs. There's no one else to put in.
Like in hockey, if you get a bad enough penalty, you're taken off the ice for a few minutes. And then your team is down a player. So that's like a big consequence because it's hurting your team's performance because they're down a body.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a reasonable thing to do. It also would have been reasonable to not let Draco and what's his name play because they previously tried to kill Harry at a Quidditch match. But apparently nobody cares about that. Apparently there are no consequences for your actions at Hogwarts.
They had some detention.
They're allowed to do bad stuff like grab people's heads instead of the quaffle or hit people with beater bats.
Yeah, they look just like quaffles.
It's just a penalty shot. You know, why not? Just a penalty shot. That's the only consequence.
That's the weirdest part of it, though. Like, if they were not getting called out, that would be one thing. Just keep doing it. Not that I support that, but it would make sense. Any kind of, like, movie where, oh, they're not playing fairly. The refs are looking the other way.
Madame Hooch was the ref. Yes,
Madame Hooch was on top of this. And they're just still doing it. And they're just losing those points because of it.
There truly is very little consequence for what they're doing.
Well, they're losing because of it.
Yeah, but like not by enough. You know what I'm saying?
Eh.
Okay, so they get the penalty shots. Harry is just kind of waiting for the right moment. He sometimes tries to distract Malfoy in case Malfoy sees the snitch before it's time.
Lee Jordan starts swearing.
Yeah, he does.
When these fouls are happening, Professor McGonagall tries to take away the magical megaphone from him. And yeah. Lee Jordan resists and keeps the microphone, which is very fun to me to think, like, McGonagall comically trying to rip a giant megaphone from his hands and the student just like swiping her away.
And at one point, McGonagall is so upset by a foul that she just lets Lee Jordan go off because she's distracted.
Malfoy climbs, like tries to climb onto Harry's broom.
Not climb on. He grabs Harry's broom, the back of it, to prevent Harry from going. Yeah, which is crazy. Like, how much strength must that take? If the firebolt can travel at like Mach 7 or whatever nonsense number we've been given, how is Malfoy?
The broom is coming along with it. Like, the broom is not stationary.
Yes.
Malfoy's broom is not standing still. Both of them are being pulled along, so he's moving slowly.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. So that was crazy. And then Harry, so the point margin happens, but Harry sees that Malfoy is like going after the snitch. And so he dives after them, trying to catch up. And it says, when Harry starts this dive, it says they were gaining on Malfoy. So I guess the Firebolt is a person now.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I hate it. And then Harry catches the snitch because he's faster than Malfoy. The game literally comes down to Harry having a faster broom. So he was able to catch up to Malfoy and catch the snitch.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a nice victory. I don't like this. This is just like, it's not like Harry was the better player. He was able to finesse it. He's a better broomsman. It was just his broom is faster, so he's able to catch up. Malfoy spotted the snitch first.
Yes.
The only factor that allowed him to get the snitch was that his broom was better.
He is seen as a very good flyer.
But that never is mentioned as part of it.
Potentially, a bad flyer on a fast broom would hurt themselves or just be a bad flyer.
If Harry still had the Nimbus 2000, do you think he would have caught up to Malfoy here?
In his 2001, I think they kind of showed that he could in the previous
book. I don't like this. Quidditch chapters are the worst.
Okay.
I can't wait for the book where there's no Quidditch.
Okay. We get two of those.
I hate Quidditch chapters. Yeah, that's true. That's the chapter. They win.
They win the Quidditch Cup. They win the whole cup. And as we've seen in the last two books, that does not mean you win the House Cup.
No.
But they will.
Mm-hmm.
Dumbledore will make it happen.
Let's talk about Spell of the Week. I hate this.
Are you at least happy for Wood?
No, we broke up. I found someone better.
Oh, it ends with Harry so happy he felt like he could have produced the best Patronus.
Harry Potter is a jock.
That was obvious.
Okay.
Were you ever doubting yourself?
What's the spell? What is the spell?
The spell is the cheer charm or whatever it is.
Oh, cheering charm. Sure, that makes sense. There was no magic in this chapter.
No magic in this spell. Cassie was so upset by the fact that Quidditch happened in this chapter that she forgot the rest of the chapter happened. When I went through my chapter summary and half of it was about things that weren't Quidditch, she was upset with me. But more than half of her notes are about things that aren't Quidditch. She has two Quidditch lines in her notes. And we've spent a ridiculous amount of time talking about other things and 6 minutes talking about Quidditch.
I blocked it off for you. This is the part about Quidditch. This is
I'm sorry.
Else.
Three bullet points.
Yeah, about 200 students. Cheering charms. Let's talk about cheering charms. I could use a cheering charm after this chapter.
The cheering charm, if you could not guess, cheers a person up, makes them happy. It was invented by Felix Summerby during the 1400s, and it is a charm. There's no interesting etymology, because guess what? Cheering is just a regular English word. Yeah, that's a very short spell of the week, but there seems to be a time limit.
Yeah, it starts to wear off.
Yeah, it wore off after they ate. I'm not sure if the food had anything to do with it. I'm really just making guesses now, because that is truly the end of what the Harry Potter lexicon has to say about the cheering charm.
Okay. Did you check the Harry Potter wiki as well?
I have it open. It says it creates joy, which is the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's some like copy and pasting from Wikipedia, but make it different enough.
Yeah.
Which sums up Wikia.
Ooh, but this
well.
Is fun. When the charm was overdone, it could have caused the victim to be overcome with fits of hysterical laughter.
And what's the source on that?
Zero.
Yep.
Oh, wait, mm-hmm. Hold on.
Sounds like the Harry Potter wiki.
It's pointing at chapter 15, the one that we just read.
Oh my God.
But there's no essence of,
Catch me on my next podcast, Why I Hate Wikia. Anyway, there is a spell in, or like magic in Final Fantasy. The cheer spell is in a lot of the Final Fantasy games. And usually it is...
I'm guessing like a support spell.
Yeah. It's like a buff for your entire party. It like raises their like defense and attack.
Okay.
It's different in different games, but that's usually what it does.
That's like a kind of a cheerleader kind of thing of like,
you're
inspiring the team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you play Star Wars Knights of the Republic, it's called Battle Meditation, and it makes even less sense. And it is a crucial part of the game's plot.
Yes.
Anyway, this is a Harry Potter podcast, not Star Wars.
Despite it being a Harry Potter podcast, I will still say if you want to see a good representation of divination and all that jazz, you can go watch that one Avatar episode.
Okay. I thought you were going to bring up in the prequels of Star Wars when they like allude to a prophecy like twice. You were meant to bring balance to the Force, not destroy it. It's a dumb plot line. Anyway, speaking of dumb plot lines, that's the end of chapter 15, the Quidditch final. And you can send us an email and Podtrificus to tell us what you think of this chapter.
No. Our name is already a pun. You can't stick another pun in there.
Send us an email to owlpost@podtrificustotalis.com, owlpost at podtrificustotalis.com with your thoughts, comments, corrections, and so on. And of course, you can follow us on social media. I'm just on Twitter. Don't give money to Facebook. I mean, truly, don't give money to like any of these platforms. Block ads is all you can. These are giant corporations who are making money off of mining your data. So like, maybe don't use any of them. But like, if you're going to use one of them, I use Twitter more than the rest. So that's where we're at Podtrificus on Twitter.
On that note, if you haven't yet and you have an iPhone, Google how to block ad collection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The new iOS update just rolled that out where you can stop advertisers from collecting your data. And that's a good idea.
And you can tell it's a good idea because Facebook is very upset about it.
Yes. That's where my moral compass is. Like, does Mark Zuckerberg like this? Then I don't. So anyway, you can follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on the podcast platform of your choice. We are on all of them except for garbo ones like Luminary or Wondery, where you have to pay, because also I believe that it would be unreasonable for me to ask money for people listen to this show.
I agree.
But yes, yeah, so you can follow us on there and so on so that you can get the next episode right when it comes out, hot off the presses, which will be chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Professor Trelawney's Prediction.